Welcome to the She's Electric podcast. We're in the business of helping you to be your best self.
Click subscribe so we can help you have more money, more success, more love, more laughter, and more time for you. I'm Pia.
And I'm Kaya. Now let's get on with this episode. Welcome back to the She's Electric podcast. Thank you so much for joining us again today for a classic catch-up episode. I have to say that these ones are my favourite. How are you doing today, Pia? What's going on?
I'm doing only okay. I think the compounding effect of the lack of sleep has caught up on me. It's been 5 months now, and I've had very little sleep in that time, very little consecutive sleep, and it always amazes me how when you are underslept, when you don't get enough sleep, everything just starts to crumble around you. And it's always the same pattern for me. It's I have low energy, and then these insidious negative little thoughts start to creep in, and I don't know I'm in those thought patterns until I've had this massive meltdown. Week was just a really hard week for me. It all just came to a head, and I found myself experiencing a lot of judgment from myself, and there was a few things that Rafi has been quite unsettled. He's not sleeping so well. He's got constipation. He's scratching himself on the side of his face. He's getting eczema. He's getting all of these anxiety related things. I don't even know if it's that, but he's just not as Enzo was cool as a cucumber about everything, and Rafi is just struggling a little bit more. And last week I started internalizing that you are not an available mother. Rafi felt this from you when you were in the womb. You were so scared of him arriving. You wanted to get everything done before he arrived, and he picked up on that, and he's anxious because he feels like you're not there and you're not listening to him and you're not available. And these thoughts were going around my head for a long time. And then I went and I actually was visiting some people, and they ended up picking up on things like this and commenting on it. One woman said, and she said it from a place of love, I just feel like your nervous systems are in different places right now, that he wants something and you're somewhere else. And so I started internalizing that, going, I'm in the room with him, but I'm not in the room because I've taken on this client work. And why have I done this? And why can't I stop with my business? Blah, 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 blah. And then another woman said to me, and she was saying from a place of love, I realized that you're not a mother. You need a nanny. You need a nanny. You're not a mother. And I think she meant you're not a stay-at-home mother. But she said that, and it was just so funny that in that week when I was at my most vulnerable, these things started to come out. And so this week has been a bit better. Stephen gave me a full night's sleep. He took Rafi. And that full night's sleep is absolutely transformative, what it can do. So I started getting a little bit more curious about, like, what is this judgment about? What's going on here? And it's funny because it coincides with, I've been listening to the Britney Spears, her biography, her autobiography, and I couldn't listen to it when Rafi was born. It's very harrowing, but now I'm in a place where I'm like, oh my God, it's funny how, like, the things that you need to hear come into your life at the right time. And so she talks a lot about how, like, I think Britney Spears is a really public, really intense example of the female experience in a patriarchal world, a world created by men. Everybody loved Britney when she was a virginal, cute little girl. That was when Britney was at her most loved. And then the world just started to reject her as she became a woman and started doing things that women want to do. And as she had sex with Justin Timberlake, there was just total shock over this. And she has constantly been judged for doing things that are actually really normal. So just take, for example, Justin Timberlake cheated on her multiple times. She cheated once. An entire song is written about it. She is vilified in the press. And then she ends up having two babies. She puts on weight after having a baby. And the way she describes it in the book is, the way she was treated in the press, it was like they were saying, how dare you offend us with your weight gain? So all of these very natural things. And so I'm going back to myself and I'm going, why am I judging myself so much, so harshly over this thing? What if Rafi's just going through a normal sleep regression, right? Because this is what my rational brain is telling me. He's going, this is normal. This is all happening the way it's supposed to be. Why am I applying all of this self-blame? And then I think about when I was young, women are constantly trying to contort themselves into a box that just doesn't fit. I've been called a goody two shoes and I've been called a slut. I've been told that I don't work hard enough. Oh no, but you're too ambitious. And it's like women, they don't breastfeed long enough, but then if they breastfeed too long, oh my God, no, they're weird. Do you know? It's like there's all these rules around being a woman. And I realized that I have had so much judgment around how I'm doing my maternity leave. I have been berating myself internally for taking on a bit of client work and really going, why am I doing this? Why have I done this? And I have been told my entire life, work hard. You need to work harder than the boys because you're going to be judged to a higher standard and you need to go. And it's always about working harder and doing more. And then it's like I'm expected as soon as I have a baby to just shut all that off and become this earth mother who is just happy being at home with her kid all day and doing the washing and doing all these domestic duties. And what I've realized is there is a reason why I took on that client work. There's a reason why I said yes to those things. Coming down and doing the washing and doing the laundry and cleaning the house and playing with my baby and listening to nursery rhymes, it's not enough. I don't enjoy coming down to the same jobs. I do them every day and I come down and they're still there waiting for me. And even though the client work and the bit of work that I'm doing, and I'm working with a coach to bring my business online, and it's hard. It's really hard. And there's days when I am resenting it. But there's days when I love it. And I feel like because I'm working on this, I'm moving my life forward. It's not just this hamster wheel of the same things every single day. There are days when I resent my family. There's days when I resent, like there's definitely days when I resent the lack of sleep that I'm getting. It doesn't mean I don't love Rafi. I love him to bits. I love Enzo to bits. I love them all. But I need more in my life than just the mom and baby groups are not enough for me. And I just, what I've found is I cannot switch off who I am just because I'm on maternity leave. And so where I've come to this week is fuck the rules. I'm going to do maternity leave the way that I want to do it. If that involves doing a little bit of client work, doing a little bit of learning, yes, there are times when that's going to drain me and it's going to be tiring, but so does being a mother. That drains me and it's tiring and that's okay. So that's where I'm at.
So I just literally want to celebrate that you recognized that you were like judging yourself so much and blaming yourself for things that are very lateral, like having your baby go through different sleep cycles and different health little challenges. None of that is your fault. When you shared with me earlier in the week the two comments that those women had said to you from a place of love, I literally wanted to give them both a slap because I get it was from a place of love, but like they were so triggering. And I think that actually a lot of things that people say to mothers are quite triggering because as you were sharing there, like we care so much, we care so deeply about our children and about this role that we're doing that we're already judging so much of what we're doing. And it's nothing that you say. So many things people say as a like suggestion or have you tried this or whatever, it comes across like women are in a very, especially when you're sleep deprived, you're sensitive and these things are just so triggering. So I think it's really a great reminder to just not stick your two pence in when it comes to like how other people parent their children. Just care. Like I really think this is like just care for the mother and just ask her if she's okay and be there for her. Just don't
hold
get
space
involved.
For her.
Don't get involved in like trying to fix whatever she's sharing with you, because I really feel like nobody needs fixing. And yet we're in this cycle all the time of when somebody shares something with us, we jump in straight away and try to offer them the solution and try to fix it. And that does not make them feel good. That does not make them feel seen and heard. That makes them feel like they don't know themselves what's right, and you're judging them as not being as broken. And it's, you are not broken. You don't need fixing. You have a young baby. You're doing your best. You're doing an absolutely amazing job, by the way. I just want to share with all the listeners that Pia is doing the podcast today with Rafi strapped to the front of her.
And, because he didn't sleep. Okay.
Right. She's had a rough night coming into the podcast. And actually, when we talked about whether it was the right decision to record today, what I loved about what you said is that this is, you're going to be sharing some valuable, real, kind of vulnerable emotions and insights because you're in the middle of it right now. And we don't just want to hear about everybody's highlights and when they're on top of the world, because that's not real life and that's not how we connect. And that's not what most people's journey is. What I really was coming top of mind to me when you were sharing that, and I loved at the end that you were like, fuck what everyone else thinks, I'm going to do what's right for me with my maternity leave, is it was really reminding me of this sage advice that a dear like friend who also lost a child gave to me, when she just said, fuck the books, you're the one in this, like fuck all the books, fuck what everybody else says. And I feel like there's a lot of categorizing with women. Women this, women that, women need this and women need that. And it's like, one, I don't always want to be labeled as a woman, first and foremost. Like, I'm a fucking human being. Mm-hmm. And also, it's this pattern, which it's present for women. From the work I do, I can tell you it's also very present for men, where we're constantly looking for external validation to, like, check whether what we're doing is right, rather than just saying, what is it that I feel like doing? So it's, we're looking outside at what other people are doing, about what other people who are similar to us might be doing, what other people who've got a child similar age to us might be doing. And that's taking us away from our desires and our intuition, what it is we want. And that's where things like social media are dangerous, because they are constantly showing you what other people are doing. And that's the opposite of looking at what is it that's right for us right now.
Exactly. And the most surprising thing in all of this judgment is that through all of these thought processes going through my head and all of this narrative that you're not an available mother, you're Rafi, all of these things happening with Rafi is because of you, like nothing to do with Stephen, nothing to do with anything. It's, this is you. What I've realized is that the biggest misogynist or the biggest judger in all of this is me. I'm judging of myself. It's been really shocking to realize that I have all of this pre-programmed misogyny in me, these hidden biases that we have, where, you know, a woman can do certain things but she can't do too much. She can be assertive too much and she's bossy. And men aren't held to the same high standard. And it's I have been judging myself for not doing the textbook version of maternity leave, which is just to switch off my brain, really like just go deep with my baby and switch off that entire side of me that actually is a huge part of who I am, which is my drive. And it was only, someone said it to me during the week, and they were like, you're modeling really good behavior or really good values to your children, to your boys, that you can follow your dream, that you can have a dream and you can follow it, that you can do difficult things. And that was another thing that I just needed to hear this week. Because I was like, yes, this is hard and I'm not doing it perfectly. I'm definitely not doing it perfectly, but I am doing some really good things. And when I think about it, when I actually map it out and think about it, I'm a fucking good mother. I'm really, when I am with my children, I am with them. I'm fully in it. I'm not on my phone. They never see me on my phone because I'm not scrolling. I'm not doing that. Like they have my full attention when they have my attention. When they don't, and I am doing something else, I'm giving my full attention to that other thing. That's, I think, how I've been able to move my business quickly in the last year, is by giving, when I'm doing something, I'm giving a total focus. I'm not trying to do 10 things at once and giving them like a tiny bit of my focus.
Yeah. One of the things that I think was coming up for me as you were sharing just then is, yeah, you are a great mother, and you don't need to justify that.
Yeah.
When most mothers are great mothers.
They're all great.
All mothers are doing their best at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
With what they have at that time. And I think that it's this, when you say, oh, I'm not a perfect mother, it's, no one is perfect. So why would anyone, why would you want to be something that doesn't exist? Why don't you just be great? You know, like, let's just get that. That's not the standard. That's the low standard. Perfection's not a high standard. Perfection's the lowest
really low
standard
one.
That you can hold yourself to, because it doesn't exist. You're just setting yourself up for failure. So that's just a really shit standard from the outset. And I also think it's, as soon as you notice that there is this pattern of justification, right? Mm. You don't need to justify yourself.
No,
you don't
you're
need
right.
to justify that when you're with your kids, you're not on your phone, all of these things, because that is what you're doing then, is you're in conversation with judgment, right? Because you're justifying, you're responding to the judgment.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
It's
But
like,
it was,
just being the emotion of, it's like the, when we're back and forth in the conversation, right? We're keeping that judgment alive because we're responding to it. We're allowing it to exist. And it's like, the calm and the peace is of the present moment, right? Where what's happened before is irrelevant. What's happening in the future is yet to come. It's just in this moment. And then in this moment, it's, that's where the peace is.
Yeah. And I've been doing that a lot with Rafi, where because my natural thing is to strategize. I'm just that, I'm very forward, future focused. And that is something I'm always trying to bring myself back to the present. So when I'm in the room with Rafi and I'm thinking about building a sales engine for my business, for example, I'm like, I notice that I'm doing it. It's like meditation. I notice that my mind is gone, and I just say to myself, Pia, come back to the room. And then I come back and I give my focus to Rafi. And that's been a huge help to just get myself enjoying the present moment. But one of the things that, a huge driver for me with this podcast, is to create a conversation around how women can choose a different path for themselves around what society has laid out for them. That there are all these different ways of earning money, of having a career. It doesn't have to be the 9 to 5. You can work in a blended way. You don't have to wear a suit to work. You don't have to follow to these social norms. We can actually start to craft our own future. And I felt that around maternity leave, that this is another area where I'm like, it doesn't have to be this textbook way. It can look all kinds of different ways. And you know, I'm actually, for the women who want to go to the mom baby groups and they want to sing nursery rhymes with their kids and meet other moms, I'm like, I applaud you. I'm so like that. I see those women, I see them going into the groups, and I'm like, I wish that excited me, but it doesn't.
But why do you wish that it excited you? Why don't you just say, that's great for them, I'm good with who I am?
Because that's the programming. This is the picture of the woman who's on maternity leave. She goes and she's going for coffee with the girls, and she's chatting. And a woman invited me to a mom and baby group last week, last Friday. And I had all this guilt around. I was like, I wish to go. And then I was like, Pia, do you want to go? Like, no, I don't want to go. There's so many other ways I want to spend my time. And then I ended up doing a couple of modules on this course, and I went out for a walk with Rafi, and I had a really nice day. And I see this in you sometimes. You like your own company, and I like my own company too. I also love being around people, but it right now my life is very draining, and I find being in big groups really draining on top of it. It's not a way that I go and relax. It's like, it feels a bit like more work to me. So I've just been, I haven't really been engaging with those things. And yes, there is this like element of guilt around this, that I'm not doing it right.
Yeah, it's really interesting to hear you talking about that, because if I'm honest with you, I feel like I was never attracted to those things, didn't care that I wasn't, and actually was just like, that's not me. Like, me is just continuing to spend quite a lot of time on my own. My number one priority every day is for me to have space to create myself, to get in a bit of journaling, to get in some movement, and to spend time with my friends who maybe were mums, maybe weren't one-on-one, or like
I'm a one-on-one person.
My friends. And I think that it's really what I can see right now, and which you picked up on, is that all of this judgment, you can label it as it's society telling women to do this. It's you.
It's 100%.
You're the one who's saying this is what it's supposed to look like, because I'm a woman. I'm not saying that. That's not what I think it should look like. I think that what you're doing looks way more fun, right? But I'm not like admiring of women who want to sit around and sing nursery rhymes with their kids. I love that for them. I might even love it for myself sometimes, but it's not like I'm not putting that on a higher pedestal. And I think that I had this really great conversation with my mum earlier in the week, where I said to her, watch yourself. Every time, it was when all of this stuff was kicking off with Kate Middleton, before it like it all came out that she was sick, I was like, but why do you, like, women are always tearing down other women, right? Sorry to just say the truth. Like, when I you're talking totally then about this dream picture of what maternity leave should look like, you're tearing down yourself and you're tearing down other women who don't want to do that. So it's like
completely
that we are speaking this judgment about women all of the time. And I was just saying to my mum, just don't talk about other women. Just don't talk about them, full stop. I'm like, talk about your experience if you want. Talk about how you feel if you want, but let's just stop talking about other women.
This is exactly how, when all this Kate Middleton stuff came out, I literally just disengaged. I said, that woman, what she deserves is privacy. Whatever is going on, she deserves privacy. And whenever anybody brought it up, I just said, look, I just shut down the conversation, because I also don't find it interesting talking about other women. But this is what I mean about the pre-programmed misogyny, that we are all pre-programmed with biases around how a woman should be.
Yeah, so I love this thing. And this is really where I think people get like angry, and then they're in this like rage, which isn't always that helpful, where they're like, the world is fucked, right? The world is fucked. And it's like, okay, if we bring it back to, like, what's the change you want to see, and how are you going to be that? So it's just be yourself. Like, my work every day is to just be, is like self-worth. That is literally like, my number one job every day is to fucking create myself as a worthy woman, because that's what the world needs. The world needs women who feel worthy. The world needs leaders who feel worthy. So it's showing up in that energy. That's how I change the world, because I start to become that change that I want to see.
Kaya, I just feel, since you come home from Joe Dispenza retreat, that you have this wisdom about you that I am just loving. I'm just loving having these conversations with you, because what I have, and Stephen has picked up on it as well, my pattern is I hate when people judge me, because I know that I've got some out there. I call them out there beliefs. I don't think they're out there. I have beliefs. I don't think it's okay for kids to be playing with smartphones. I don't hand an iPad to my child, but I'm the minority in that. I don't give my children unhealthy food, ultra processed foods. Like, this Easter, I'm not buying any Easter eggs or anything like that. But I'm telling you, I'm the weird one, because I'm going to make protein balls and wrap them in tinfoil, and he's going to do an Easter egg hunt for that. Do you know what I mean? And it's funny. Stephen always says, you just need to own who you are, Pia. And when people say things like that, oh, like, that's a bit uptight, or that's a bit, instead of going, this is who I am, and hello world, this is me, I start to get angry at them. And I get angry at them. And it's, I don't get angry to their face. It's, I go away and I start having the soap opera in my head, and I'm rehashing the conversation. And it stems from a lack of confidence in my own beliefs and my own values.
Yeah, it's really beautiful that you've identified that. And you know what? When you were talking that, and you were like, I don't do this, I don't do this, I don't do this. Yes, and what is it that you do? Rather than being focused on, I don't want to do these things, because that there's a little bit, when you just say those statements, that's like a little bit of judgment to people who do, right? So instead, it's like, I love to create, like, really.
I love that.
You know what I mean? It's because, though, you're speaking in beauty.
Yeah. You're speaking in inspiration rather than tearing other people down, because it's, I don't mind present. If other people do that. If people want to, I fully get it. Go out, buy the egg. It's so much quicker than what I do. Do you know? But I know a woman, and she knits all these clothes for her daughter. It's the stuff that this girl wears is amazing. She's just so talented with it. I would never do that. I would never put my energy into that. I don't even know how to knit, but I do put my energy into food. So you're right. It's instead of focusing on, I don't do this, I don't do this. I love that. It's, this is what I do. This is a huge part of my career. This is part of my identity. I am food.
And it's because the values underneath that are like health, love,
connection,
presence, right?
Yes. Yes. This is really helpful. This is so
helpful.
Like,
that's who you are. Like, you radiate those things. And it's a little bit like when we had that conversation the other day and you were like judging yourself about all of these things that you hadn't done, and it was like total loss of perspective on all of the like amazing things that you were doing, like in this journey of the second baby, in your labor, in your beautiful preparation for that labor, in this amazing journey that you've had with your doula, in all of these little like Ayurvedic remedies that you've been giving your family and yourself, right?
And that's exactly it. I have been saying to myself, you're so in your masculine energy, you can't switch off your masculine. And it was only when you said it to me the other day that you were like, Pia, I've seen someone, you are so in your feminine energy right now. You got the doula, you have been following all these Ayurvedic remedies. I've been doing baby massage with Rafi all the time. I've actually have been in my feminine energy, but it's back to the self-judgment that it's aspiring for this perfection that just doesn't exist, and it's never good enough.
So it's like you've identified what's at play here, and it's like the judge, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like tempering that, because sometimes we're like, oh, it's the hyperachiever, oh, it's the stickler. Yes, they're at play, but like the judge is the one who is the ringmaster and is getting that party started. And you know, when I said to you earlier, like
totally,
when you're defending yourself, you're in conversation, right? We don't want him at the party, so we're not going to talk to him.
I'm not exactly, I'm just not going to engage with him.
Like, no justifying. We do not need to justify. And actually, it's like that self-worth, right? Or even like it's warming up the empathy.
Yeah. But it's also, you've said something that really resonates with me, because it's funny. I help my clients to build a sales engine for their business, right? So I do that for food manufacturers. And my whole mantra around how you sell is play to people's, inspire them, play to their hopes, play to their desires. I know that people say play to their pain, but I'm like, no, use inspiration. It's a really good motivator. And I never thought of using this inspiration for my values and for owning my decisions. Instead of all the things that I'm not doing or the things that I don't believe in, it's no, this is what I believe in and this is what I'm about.
Beautiful.
I love it.
So it's so funny, isn't it? Like, you've come full circle to be like, God, I can just inspire myself.
I can inspire myself. And this is something that I love doing. And it's just much more fun than thinking about all the things that I don't agree with and I don't believe in. But thank you so much. I needed this conversation. But tell me, what's going on with you?
Thank you so much, because I think it was super, super powerful for you to just be real today about what was going on and be vulnerable. And I think it's actually not that easy for people to be vulnerable and to share when they're in it. So just, you know, celebrating that you did that for our audience and for me today. I am doing pretty well. This week, my mum and dad were here visiting us in Portugal last week, which was so amazing. I genuinely had such a great time with them and just feel so grateful to have my mum and my dad like alive and well and active. They were coming swimming with us in the sea for 10 minutes in the cold Atlantic. It was just so awesome to see them like in this energy of leaning into discomfort and doing something new. My mum's 69, my dad's 70. My dad can't even really swim. So like to see him going for like a dip in, it was quite grey as well on the days when we were going, was just, it was really inspiring and it was really awesome. And it was also really soothing. I think we've all had such a rough year that When I think back to this time a year ago, nothing had this curveball of losing my son hadn't happened yet. And at that time, like, there was a lot of fractures in my family. Like, my dad and my husband were in a really bad place. Like, they could not be in the same room. They kept getting in these big arguments, and it was really stressful for me and my mom and for the rest of the family. It was causing a lot of stress family wide. And so when I see, like, at that time, I remember just writing over and over again in my journal that I just wanted, like, connection. I wanted my whole family to be around the table together and everybody would be happy and laughing. And it's what I saw in the last week was that in reality. Yeah. And it was just this, it was like a yes and moment. Yes, we've had, like, one of the most insane kind of challenging experiences happen to our family. And then it's, yes, that happened. And, you know, the gift that's happened amidst all of that is this, like, intense reconnection between everybody. And I just felt very, that was so soothing amidst feeling a wave of grief, which I have done in the last week. There was some real, like, moments where I just saw my dad and my husband together, genuinely with, like, such love between them. And it was so, like, it was like magical, because it was just like, how did this happen? There's a mystical spiritual knowingness that I have that this is my son at work. Like, this is his spirit work bringing us together and creating this, like, magnetic love between everybody, and this feeling of, like, peace and support. That's been really soothing and something that I've been thinking a lot about. And it's just such a great reminder, things can change. You could never expect the way that life can change in a short period of time, for the worse and for the better. So it makes me excited just about the journey of life. Of, I was thinking today that genuinely, I can say this, like, everything in my life has always turned out so much better than I expected. And that sounds weird, like, having had the year that I've had, but even in losing my son, it's like that experience has been, in the moments and the aftermath of that, I never imagined that I could be where I am right now. So it's just having that hope for the future and that belief and faith that actually things have always turned out so much better, even when it's been the worst. This wasn't a failure, this was like a tragedy, but whether it's like a work failure or it's things going down, not working out in the way that you expect them, the uplift, you can always find yourself in a place that is beyond your wildest dreams and your expectations of yourself. So I think that's where I am at today. But I tell you what, woke up this morning feeling quite low, which I felt for a few days, and it's been really bad weather here. I didn't feel like going in the sea, had a cold shower for a state change, and I noticed that I was like, you should meditate, and I was like, I'm not doing anything I should do today. And there was this part of me that I was just like, I just want to get outside. And then it's the voice is like, yeah, but sit down and meditate. You're not going to do it when you get back, just sit down and meditate. And I was like, no, I'm going outside.
That's the judge again.
Yeah, and I went on this walk in the rain and did this. I was just like being open. And I noticed again, I've been like saying, like, this one type of meditation is better than this other type of meditation. And I'm like, I don't want to do that, so I'm going to do the one I want to do. Did this like really cinematic walking meditation, total state change. Came home and I actually felt like I was in such a like blissed out, peaceful state. And then I sat down on the sofa and I was feeling quite tired because I did go on quite a long walk. And I was like, oh, I really feel like meditating now. And I did again, like just chose the one that I felt like doing, not Dr. Joe. I've got to get back in my retreat vibe. And I had honestly like the best meditation that I've had in a week.
It's you, because What you're making me think about is what you said last week on the pod about your friend Penny, who you met at the retreat, where she just started listening to that intuition. What you did this morning was you were listening to your intuition. What I find is the way that you connect with your intuition is leaning into, how do you want to feel? How do I want to feel? And your body, you could feel it. I don't want to sit still. I want movement right now. So that's why you honored that. You followed the signs, like Penny followed the signs. And then you got to exactly where you want to be, instead of trying to force something that doesn't fit.
Exactly. And I just feel really like I'm in this weird state where I'm really curious to see how I'm literally doing so little work at the moment. Haven't made money for like a couple of months, and genuinely, I just don't care, because I've got this like weird feeling of but it's coming. Just every time I get like flustered about it, and I'm like, I want it right now. It's like, just be patient. And there's this part of me that knows, there is this knowing that I'm like, it's all coming. So just, you can get in that old pattern of like impatience and control of like needing it right now. Or you can just be in your life and enjoy it.
This what you're talking about has relevance to my own situation right now. About, I'm trying to force a version of maternity leave that is, it feels wrong. And it's like, when I just surrender and lean, what is it that I want to do? Do I want to do a bit of client work today? Yeah, that feels good. Or no, I'm really tired. I don't want to do that. So I'm not going to do that. And it's something that I think we are so governed by, these shoulds, things that we should do. And the biggest example I see is when people are like, I should go to the gym. I need to go to the gym. I'm like, does that sound like fun to you right now? Is that going to de-stress you? Like, what would feel really good? And when they're saying like getting out for a walk on the beach or getting out in nature, you're still achieving the same objective, which is to move your body, to get exercise, but you're doing it in a totally different way.
Yeah, and it's interesting, because I feel like the place where sometimes people get confused on this is they're like, oh, but I feel like going on social media. And it's no, that's just a default. Because actually, think about how that makes you feel after. Does it make you feel good about yourself? Does it energize you? Does it make you feel like inspired and all of this? I don't know, maybe it might do, but like, I notice that's a big default for me, right? If I've got a few minutes and whatever between something, when I'm in this kind of state of impatience and like restlessness, I'm looking for distraction all the time. And those things are numbing.
Yeah.
And completely. I don't want any numbing. So it's like, okay, you don't have to go and do this intense training if you don't feel like it. You can read a book, right?
Yeah.
Or you can lie down and have a nap or go for a walk. But there's a list of activities for me that are actually a no-go.
Yeah.
Because they are like, they're default draining things. So I think it's interesting for me to watch that. And another thing I will add is that I noticed that it's actually a narrative, and it's a story that I've got about, God, I'm hardly doing any work. Because when I reflect, when I look back on it, every week I do some like light planning, and I make a list of all of the things that I did in the last week, right?
Yeah.
And you know what? The difference is that I'm not wasting time. I'm just basically not spending loads of time. So the amount of time I'm working has reduced.
Yeah.
But because I'm doing things that are more effective, it's that 80-20.
Yeah.
I could spend 2 hours a day on LinkedIn, right? I could spend 3 hours a day on LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
Quite draining for me, right? I might feel like, God, I've been working all day, but it's, or I could make a couple of calls. Anywhere. I could make a couple of calls that take 5 or 10 minutes, right? That are going to move the needle more than 3 hours.
Yes. Oh, I love this conversation right now, because I'm in that place of flapping. When you're flapping around, you're busy all the time. And between all the work that needs to be done around the house, all the laundry, washing, everything, the dinners that need to be made, and then all the client work, for a few weeks, I found that I was just flapping around and starting things. And then, oh, Rafi wakes up and, oh, I need to go to him. Blah, blah, blah. So now this is part of my whole time management system that I'm following this year, and I'm loving it. It's what I say to myself, what are the three things you want to get done today? That's it. And then I look at it and I go, okay, so one of the pillars in my business is build a sales engine. And So I have all these things underneath that, all these different tasks that fit within that. Okay, so there are some things that require me to sit down in front of a computer, right? There are other things in there that require I just make a call. So on a day like today, when Rafi's not sleeping, I can put him in the carrier, I can put on my headphones, and I can make a couple of calls, and I get so much done. But I found, rather than having 10 things on my to-do list, I now have my categories that I want to move forward. And I'm just like, what are the three things that I just want to move forward today? And I'm getting so much more done because I'm focusing on the things that move the needle.
Yeah, beautiful. Like the Ivy Lee method, just pick three things, guys. Yeah. No more. We can't have, that's not, they're not the top things then. Otherwise we start getting things done just to tick things off and we're not actually prioritizing, and all tasks are not equal.
No. I love what you were saying though about how this surrender to, you haven't earned money in months and that's okay. I think that the reason why everybody is burnt out, I'm just seeing it everywhere. People in work, they're burnt out. Everybody's working at such a high level. And I really feel it's been bad since COVID happened. Something shifted in the world. And it's like we haven't learned any of the lessons we learned when we all stepped off the wheel. We're now back on the hamster wheel and it's moving faster than ever. And it's this constant need for production and for growth. And it's, we need to beat our number. I remember when I worked in, it's a big drinks company. Whenever you got a really good number and your sales figures were really high, you'd immediately go into a huge panic because you would have to beat that number next year. And there's times when you would never beat that number. So you would just be on this huge decline. So instead of being able to celebrate, we did really well this year. All of a sudden, because you're held to this constant level of growth, it negates any form of celebration.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm reading this really good book by Cal Newport, who wrote Deep Work, an absolute classic. But I'm reading his new book called Slow Productivity, which I think is perfect timing for me because it's just exactly what I'm doing at the moment. But I really like to think about this. I think about it all the time. I'm like, what's everybody else doing? And how can I do the opposite? So I'm like, everyone else is really busy. I am not busy. Yeah. I will not be busy.
Yes.
Like I will not be busy. And everybody else wants to work, like it wants to build their business working this many hours. I'm like, I work 20 hours a week.
Yes.
That's quite challenging for me to stick to. I think actually I'm gonna make a lot of money this year, and I'm not gonna do that in this month, 10K month, 20K month. Like that just does, that model doesn't mean anything to my model. So I'm not subscribing to it. Do you know what I mean?
Do you know what I think would be really cool? So you and I are in a very similar place with this. I don't subscribe to this busyness. And I have learned that in flapping around and trying to get lots done, I get nothing done. Where this slow, steady and ultra focused way of working is actually moving me forward in a much quicker and sustainable way than the flapping. So I would love, and on my vision board this year, I put a number, and it seems crazy given that I'm on maternity leave, but I'm like, why not? Like, why can this not happen? If I want to shift how I work from being an employee of my business to being the leader within my business, being the digital CEO. And it requires a new style of work, which is exactly what you're talking about, this not being busy, this slow work. So I would love if we start to share on the pod how we are doing that and share our journey throughout the year. This is what this looks like. This is how I'm getting more done in less time, because my ultimate vision for my business is that I'm working about 20 hours a week and earning more money than I ever earned while working a 60-hour week working for industry.
Yeah, so I think the first place for me that I'll just share today before we wrap up is that what I'm really focused on is simplification. Yeah. I notice that people get very distracted all the time by what other people are doing. So it's one thing, it's one product, basically, and it's one ICA, and it's just keeping it super simple all the time.
Yeah, and I'll add to that, because so you're talking about simplification there, and what I'm doing lately is anything that I've started, have I got it done? And so I make sure that I get that thing done. It's off my plate before I move on to the next thing. So instead of having 10 tabs running with different things that I need to do, get it done and then the next and then the next. And then what you find is that you start to move through activities or tasks way quicker and way more systematically than before.
Beautiful. That's one of the tips from the book that I'm reading, is that it's not productive to work on multiple things at once. And it's really questioning the way that organizations measure productivity. Because when people have big breakthroughs, or they create really amazing breakthrough work, they're just working on that. They've needed to block everything out and go super, super deep. So I think it's a great question for people to think about, is it's something that we can leave the audience with, is like, what is it? What's the one thing that you want to focus on, like this year or in this next quarter? What is this next quarter about for you in your life? It's not five things. It's just pick one thing. If it's about eating healthy, great. That's a great thing to focus on. If it's about sleep, getting high quality sleep, amazing. That's a great thing to focus on. If it's about rekindling your relationship with your partner, amazing. That's a great thing to focus on. But can't you, all of those things is not realistic. Just pick one of them. And then the next question is, how can you keep it super simple?
I think that is amazing advice. See you guys next week.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for giving us your time. Did you know that you could change someone's day to day just by sharing this episode?
Our mission is to help women. We all want more money, more success, more love, more laughter, and more time for ourselves.
Women Helping Women is how we're going to get there.